بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين، أرواحنا له فداء. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور. صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعلى محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is, of course, always a pleasure to be at home, in your home base. And particularly, it is a pleasure to be here in this particular event of the Arba'een. And actually, I think my first speaking occasion here at Ayaba was on the Arba'een, during the Arba'een period, maybe, 2 years ago or so. And alhamdulillah, it's good to be here again as a member of this community. And as I mentioned 2 years ago, and I would like to just reiterate that point in a different way, and that is the philosophy of Arba'een. That's why Arba'een. Why do we commemorate the 40th of the event of Karbala, and maybe the 40th of other events? The 40th, or the concept of 40, is that you take something, you learn something, and by 40 days, that you have a grasp of that thing, of that idea, that thing which you've learned, that thing which you have experienced, it becomes a part of you. It becomes like second nature. We see that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in several places he mentions the significance of the 40th, or 40, just this particular number. He says that من حفظ أربعين حديثا, so whoever remembers 40 hadith, he says that person يحشر يوم القيامة فقيها, that person will be brought and raised on the day of judgment as a faqih, as someone who, here when it means faqih, doesn't literally mean that someone who is maybe a religious scholar who has studied all of the details of fiqh, of jurisprudence, and knows how to extract the law from the Quran and the Sunnah. You can't do that only with 40 hadith. But faqih here comes in its original sense. That person is someone who has an abundance of knowledge. But that person who has an abundance of knowledge, who is faqih, is not someone who has just read the hadith and has just rememberized the hadith. But it is a person who has read the hadith, understood the hadith, and has implemented the hadith, has lived by that hadith, has lived by that advice that he or she learned within the tradition of the Prophet or the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afu salatu wasalam. that it has become a part of you. It has become your way of life. To give an example, Rasulullah ﷺ, he also mentioned, he says, "Man akhlasa nafsahu 40 yawman lillah," whosoever purifies himself for 40 days for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is, inshallah, hopefully a hadith that either we have already memorized, we already have it in our memory. And I think many of you do, you've heard it before. Or if not, we can remember this hadith and make it a part of our lives. So whosoever purifies himself for 40 days, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will cause al-hikmah, wisdom, to flow from his tongue, from his heart, unto his tongue. That if one purifies himself or herself. So this period of 40, in a sense, it means that there is something that has come to a completion. That in 40 days, whatever it is that you have looked at, whatever it is that you have sought to grasp, at the 40th day or at a point of 40, you should have a hold on it. So in this sense, we should understand that we come and we remember or commemorate the 40th of Imam Hussein alayhi afsalatu wasalam, when we had 10 days from the first of Ashura, first of Muharram, to the 10th of Muharram, Ashura. That normally in that period, the speaker, he comes, he gives some topic, he speaks about that topic. In 10 days, at least we should have that topic in our mind, that what have I learned from the plight of Imam Hussein? Because you see, of course, that no matter how long we have the majalis of Muharram, and I think that many of us, or some of us, have been attending majalis of Muharram for a long time. Maybe since we were 6, and you know, now we may be in our 40s, so maybe 46 years, 30 years, 35 years, however long. That we have learned something, that in those many years of majalis, there's always something new to learn. There's always a new aspect about the plight of Imam Hussein, about the mission of Imam Hussein, about what happened in Karbala to learn. You can't exhaust the lessons that we can learn from Karbala. But each time we learn something, we must make it a part of us. At every Muharram, take those 10 days. Pay careful attention. That what is the message that is being delivered about Imam Hussein's mission? What is it that Imam Hussein was trying to save? Yes, there are many things. There are many topics. The topic that I started with was taqwa. That one of the missions of Imam Hussein alayhi afsalatu wasalam was to increase the taqwa of the ummah. And here, as we mentioned before several times, that taqwa not meaning fear of Allah, but consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consciousness. Last week we had our guest speaker and he mentioned about justice. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Imam Hussein, he went out and he stood for justice. We learned about different aspects of justice. So there are many things that can be spoken about, but it is our duty, our responsibility as individuals who follow Imam Hussein, individuals who love and we respect Imam Hussein, is to learn an aspect of his mission. Take the 10 days, reflect upon it, and in the next 40 days, until we come to Arba'in, to try to implement what we've learned in Muharram, implement it in our lives. And at the very least, assess ourselves that I've learned something in the first 10 days. Now it's been 40 days since that first Ashura. What have I learned, and how well have I implemented that in my life? So the 40th, that period of 40, is a time to assess that how well have I implemented that? And personally, I can speak for myself that yes, that what I've learned from taqwa, because actually my topic, as I said, was on taqwa, but in particular, the 228th sermon of Emir al-Mu'mineen. And inshallah, I advise everyone to read the sermon, Sermon 228 of Nahjul Balagha. Very beautiful sermon about taqwa. That if you want to know that what is taqwa, then read the sermon. And I know, and I can only say for myself that I haven't lived up to that sermon. I haven't lived up to that. But even if we learn something in the first 10 days and we have not been able to live up to that, we can assess it, we can understand that where are my weak points and how do I correct that? And then we could begin another period of 40. Quite often there are many du'as and some a'mal. If we look in Mafatih al-Jinan, we'll see that the imams, they have recommended to recite this du'a, the supplication, for 40 days. And if there's one day that you miss, start over again. Take another 40 days until you complete 40 days. That don't skip one day. Why? Because there's a special effect that du'a has. So you need to make sure that for 40 days consecutively, you recite that du'a. One such du'a, inshallah, hopefully, we will speak about that du'a, or at least the concept in that du'a, over the spirit of Arba'een in these next few days. And that's du'a Ahd. Du'a Ahd, which Imam Sadiq alayhi afsalatu wasalam, that he mentioned to one of his companions, he says, read this du'a, du'a Ahd. And if you read this du'a for 40 days consecutively, then you will be among those who rise, those who will be the companions. You'll be among those who will be the helpers, and those who will sacrifice his life for the Imam Zaman, Imam al-Qa'im, ajal akbar, al-Sharif, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. But the condition, if we read the conditions, you recite it for 40 days consecutively. If you miss one day, then you start again from the beginning until you complete it for 40 days. And it is in between it's after Fajr, but once there's a special condition that once before the sun rises, but there's you know that clearly some of the light has come out from the sun. So this is the condition, that recite it for 40 days, after that, is complete. You are to gain something from it. And when you gain that knowledge, that understanding from the du'a, from that action, then it should become a part of you. It should be part of your being. So we see that the 40 days is a completion. I mean, salawat. So we see that the Ahlul Bayt, they recommend such things. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And again, we should understand what the Prophet is meaning. He says, mal'oonun. Mal'oonun. من ملعون الماء الملعون كل مال لا يزكى كل لا يزكى كل أربعين وملعون كل جسد لم يزكى أربعين كل أربعين كل أربعين مرة. So the exact wording, it's not true, but what the prophet says, he says that that person or that wealth is cursed or is useless. That if it has not been purified at least once every 40 days. He says, likewise, that body, al-jasad, is cursed or is useless unless it has been purified at least once every 40 days. And the Prophet was asked that, okay, yes, we know what zakatul mal is. That if we don't pay our zakat, then our wealth, it's no good to us. We have not taken out our alms, our taxes, that proportion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He requires from us. He says, but what about our bodies? What is that? What is the zakatul jasad? And the Prophet, he says, أن تصاب بآفتن. That there will be some sort of calamity, not bad calamity, but there's some sort of restriction, some sort of something that happens to a person every 40 days. And then he said, even if it's khadsha, khadsha means like to scratch, you have a scratch. He says, even that is considered an afa. But the philosophy of that is that when this thing happens, it is a reminder to the person of his neediness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his neediness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a reminder to that person of, yes, his or her imperfection, his or her need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his or her need to strive to be better. And without that, of course, we know that mankind is ghafil. We're neglectful. We will be heedless. That if we do not have something that is in our lives to remind us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remind us of our imperfection, to remind us that the level that we're on, or to remind us not to become content with what we are doing, that we should always strive to be better. We should always strive to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every 40 days this should happen. The 40th of the 40th commemoration of Imam Hussein falls in the same category. That what have I learned? And how well have I implemented that which I have learned? As I mentioned, I particularly took the topic of taqwa. Right? Because in taqwa, it encompasses, personally, this is my opinion, but no one has a belief, but it encompasses every aspect of our life, every aspect of our life as Muslims, as our life as those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who believe in La ilaha illallah, who believe in Muhammad Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. Why? Simply because taqwa, as we mentioned, is consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Consciousness of our duty to Allah. Consciousness of our duty to Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt. Consciousness of how we follow them. We can make the claim, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But if we're not conscious of our actions, that how well have I implemented that belief, La ilaha illallah? How well have I implemented that claim, Muhammad Rasulullah, that he is the Rasul, that he is guided from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that Allah has given him the book, كتاب أنزلناه إليك لتخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور. How conscious am I of that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Quran through His prophet in order to guide mankind from darkness into light. How much have I remained in darkness? In the darkness of sin, of oppression, of disbelief? How close have I become to this light of guidance, of obedience, of justice that the Prophet came to show us? We assess that on Arba'in. And this is how we should approach Arba'in. That this is what we can say is the big picture. But just to come and just to mourn, cry, but not to gain anything from that, there's no use. Yes, there's a blessing, there's a great ni'mah in it. We cannot deny that. But if we taint that blessing or that ni'mah with something that is not worthy, then what have we gained? What have we gained? That we gain something and then we throw it away. That as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, to shed a tear for Imam Hussein, to shed a tear for the tragedy of Karbala. And even if you can't shed a tear, just to even pout because of the tragedy of Karbala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He forgives your sins. Or imagine this, that if your sins have been forgiven, and then you go back and you sin. You go back and you stain the heart. This is like someone saying that, listen, come and visit me. You visit me, I'll give you $1,000. I'll give you $1,000,000. You come and just visit me. Just say salam. You come, you say salam. And by the time you walk out the door, you throw their money back in and you keep going. Like, oh, you know, I didn't want this. So what was the use? You shouldn't have went in the first place. Or either you go and you maintain. Grasp the meaning of it. Hold on. Or at least that if one went and they dropped some, think. Be conscious of that action. Find out that what it is that I need to work on, what it is that I need to adjust in order to maintain that status, in order to continue to develop that status and that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the Ahlul Bayt alayhim afdhal salatu wassalam. That if this event of Karbala is for us just a story in history, is for us just another means to gather, but it has not become a part of our lives, then when our Imam comes, what will happen? Where would we be? What will be our status with our Imam? Because when we really look at this event, and if we study the event of Karbala very carefully, we see that some of the individuals who played a role in the martyrdom, the brutal killing and murdering of Imam Hussein and his companions, these were individuals who were during the time of Rasulullah, during the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi wa sallam, that they claim to be with Imam Ali. They claim to be, or at least understand what Rasulullah was saying. Umar ibn Sa'd, that's when Imam Ali also, he told Umar ibn Sa'd that you will be responsible for the murder of my son. When Imam Ali was in Kufa, he told Umar ibn Sa'd this. But then Umar said, at that time he says, how could I do this? I'm your follower. I love you. I love your children. How could I come to such a low state? But Imam Ali says, you will do that. And this is why also in Karbala, that when Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, he was upon the plains of Karbala, and he was in his final position, about to be murdered, about to have his head decapitated, that Zainab salamullah alayha, she went out and she looked at Umar ibn Sa'd. She says, Ya Umar ibn Sa'd, this is that you look at Imam Hussein and he is being martyred? Do you look at him and you know who he is? It's actually reported that he was looking while Shimr was over Imam Hussein. And he said to Umar ibn Sa'd, he was actually crying when he saw this. And Zainab says, Atanduru ilay? That do you look at him and you cry? He says, what is this? Because he remembered that Imam Ali said that this is what he will do. So this is why the Arba'een is so important, that we assess ourselves. We understand that, what have we learned from Karbala? What have we learned from Imam Hussein? How well have we implemented that? This is the time to assess. What have I done since Muharram until Arba'een? How well have I held up the flag of Imam Hussein? How well have I done that? We see that this Arba'een was so important that even we see that one of our great scholars, that he also, he reminded his people. This is Imam Khomeini, that on March 22nd, 1963, that this was the massacre at the Fazia school. That, and actually, historically, say that this is where the Islamic Revolution, it began. That after these students, scholars, they were brutally murdered, unjustly murdered. The first thing that Imam Khomeini he did, he said that we must commemorate this event. That 40 days that after this happened, we must commemorate it. And he says that everyone should remember this. It should be a reminder that what has happened since then, since that point until now, that has this tragedy gone past and it is no longer a part of our consciousness? Has this injustice happened and we just forget about it? Or should we realize that what happened, that this injustice happened and now we must take action? This injustice happened. Now we must assess ourselves, that where do we stand? Do we stand for justice and speak out against it? Or are we stand on, or do we stand on the side of injustice? or to be impartial and say nothing, and we allow such injustice to continue? And this is the question we should ask ourselves, that we saw what the companions of Imam Hussein did. And where do we stand with relation to the Imam of our time? Do we stand on his side and stand for justice? Or are we impartial? Do we have that much commitment that, okay, yes, here's a du'a'i ahd, that I am ready, or at least I am committed to making myself, to developing myself, to be as much like the companions of Imam Hussein as I can with respect to my own Imam. That I am committed to raise my children to be like the children who were in Karbala. If we have taken that commitment, then we have learned from Muharram. Our Arba'een would be one of assessment, one of adjusting, one of seeking closeness to Allah, to the Ahlul Bayt. It will be one of remembering the tragedy, but remembering it in a way that it gives us strength. Because that was a great tragedy that occurred in Karbala. But what happened after Ashura, what happened after the Ahlul Bayt, they moved beyond the plains of Karbala. This was something that was totally different. This was something that we, if we assess it and we see that, how much injustice was placed, how much injustice took place. That in Karbala, at the very least, the men who went onto the battlefield, they had swords, they can defend themselves. They could fight back. Even the young boys like Qasim, who they said that he was not even a full teenager, he was maybe 13, 11, 12, 13. But at least he had a sword. He could fight back. But with women and children in chains, that what woman can fight back? What child can fight back while in chains? Hungry and thirsty, being dragged from place to place, who could fight? They were not in a position to fight. They were not those who bared arms to fight. But yet they were beaten. They were tortured. And all of this torture and tragedy that was occurring to them. But we see that what were the state of the Ahlul Bayt? That they were facing their own trials and calamity in Kufa and in Sham, as Imam Zain al-Abidin, he says that the most difficult place was Asham, that they were facing their own difficulties. But what were they thinking about? They were remembering the tragedy of Karbala. They were remembering the fall of Habib ibn Madahir, Hur. They were remembering Aun and Muhammad. They were remembering Ali al-Akbar. They were remembering Abbas. They were remembering Ali Asghar. And one person who was remembering this the most was Sukaina. That Sukaina in Sham, she said that one night she went to sleep. And when she went to sleep, she couldn't help but to remember what happened in Karbala. And as she went to sleep, she said that she saw someone. She saw five people coming in her dream. She says, Akdama Khamsa al Mashiikh. There were five older men that were coming, and there was an angel who came, and she asks, she says, Man ha'ula rijal? And this angel, he said that, he says, Ha'ula rijal, awwaluhum Adam safwatillah. He says, the first of them is Adam. He says, the second of them was Thani Ibrahim, and the second one is Ibrahim, the Prophet Ibrahim. Wa thalith wa Musa, and the third person is Musa. Wa rabi' wa Isa ibn Maryam, and the fourth person is Isa ibn Maryam. But Sukaina, she cannot help to notice that one of these old men, wa yamshi wa yasqut marratan ukhra, that he will walk, but then he was falling, and he will get up, and he will walk again, and fall again. وَقَابِضٌ عَلَى لَحْيَتِهِ, he was holding his beard. And Sukaina, she asks, وَمَنْ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ وَمَنْ هَذَا الشَّيْخُ, and who was this person? And the angel said, وَجَدُّكِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, this is your grandfather, Rasulullah. وَيَقْرَأُكَ السَّلَامُ, and he gives his salam to you, ya Sukaina. The Sukaina said, at that moment, and I felt that I wanted to go to my grandfather. سَأَشْكُ إِلَى جَدِّي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا صَنَعَ الظَّالِمُونَ بِنَا بَعْدَ, I'm going to complain to my grandfather that what these oppressors have done to me after him. She wanted to complain to Rasulullah that what happened to her brother Ali al-Akbar, who looked like Rasulullah. She wanted to complain to Rasulullah that what happened to her Ammah al-Abbas, that Abbas, he went out to get water for Sukaina, and he did not come back. His arms were cut. She wanted to complain about all of this. But what happened is that Sukaina, she said, when I went towards my grandfather Rasulullah, Raytu khamsa hawadij, I saw five hawadij wa fi kull hawadij imra, khamsa imra, I saw five women coming. And she asked, Man ha'ula nisa, that old angel, who are these women who are coming? And where are they going to? The angel says, qadimatun ila abika al-Husayn, they're going towards your father Hussein. Wa man ha'ula, and who are they? And an angel began to describe that who these women were. He says, al-ula hawa, the first is Hawa, the mother of mankind. وَالثَّانِيَ يَا آسِيَ, it is Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun. وَالثَّالِثَ, and the third of these women, it is Maryam. The third is Maryam. وَالرَّابِعَ, and the fourth is Khadija. He says, and who is this woman? يَتَمْشِي وَتَسْقُطْ مَرَّةً أُخْرَى, this woman, she is walking, and then she's falling upon the ground, and she gets up, and she falls again, and she has her hand upon her head. The angel said, يَجَدَّتُكِ فاطمة الزهراء أم أبيك الحسين. This is Fatima Zahra, your grandmother, the mother of your father Hussein. So Sukaina said, I'm going to go complain to my grandmother. And then Sukaina, she went to Fatima Zahra. She said that in this dream, I complained to Fatima. I said, yeah, I'm a that these oppressors, they have taken our rights. These oppressors, they have killed my father Hussein. And Fatima replied, Ya Sukaina, kafa sawtaki, that your speech is enough. Please stop, you are breaking my heart. أنا لعنة الله على قوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم بحق هذه المجلس الحسيني اغفر ذنوبنا واستر عيوبنا وقضي حوائجنا واستر عيوبنا وعجل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره والمستشهدين بين يديه بحق محمد وآله الطاهرين. فاطمة حسين.